What are you addicted to?
Totally Netflix. When I get hooked on one of those TV series and then I binge on Netflix, oof, it's a big waste.
You know, definitely Facebook and Pinterest
for sure
is one that takes up too much time. And then I get lost in that. Like, it's really an hour later past? Okay, I should turn that off.
This is a super secret, though. It's Japanese anime on Netflix.
I think my struggle is sometimes I find myself just wanting to watch movies. Is that I can just completely get so absorbed in watching a movie that it will take away from my time of really studying the Word of God like I know I should be.
I really tend to turn to shopping or friends or food to find relief into things that I know can only be relieved by going to God.
We all have that go-to thing that takes more time than we sometimes realize. Sometimes they turn into unhealthy addictions. And there's definitely a fine line to walk to make sure those things don't turn into idols of nothingness and take away time from your walk with God.
The most powerful revelation of our lack of reverence is not demonstrated in the lack of decorum that we may have in the house of God, but rather it is demonstrated in our thinking that somehow we can live our lives without the presence of God.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. If we're willing to truly reverence God and allow Him to occupy the place that He desires to have in our lives, He's promised to honor us with a blessing of happiness and fruitfulness that only He can give. And today, Charles Tapp shares the last part in his series, On Holy Ground, with his message, Worthless Reverence.
I want to begin our message today by talking about a topic that may seem somewhat out of place when you look at our message today on reverence, and that is this thing that we call addiction. And by definition, addiction is simply dependence on something to the point that it is out of control. And whenever the topic of addiction is mentioned, usually one of the first things that comes in our mind is things like alcohol and things like drugs. But addictions go much further than that. You can even have addictions to things like chocolate. Well, those of you who know me, you know I love chocolate. One of my favorite chocolates, as you well know, I'm sure, is Reese's. Yes, peanut butter cup. Amen. Some of you are afraid to raise your hands. Last time I shared the fact that I was addicted to chocolate, the next day somebody came to my door with this big box of Snickers chocolate bars. Hint, 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 hint. But an addiction is when you depend on something to the point where it is out of control. Now, I may be somewhat off base here this morning, but in preparing for this series and looking at the life of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, I've come to the conclusion that the Israelites had an acute addiction. Not to chocolate, but to worshiping idols. And remember now, an addiction is a dependence on anything to the point where it is out of control. And from the time God's people were enslaved in Egypt until long after they had been delivered by the mighty hand of God, worshiping other gods, worshiping idols had such a dramatic impact in their lives that it became almost commonplace. For some reason, I don't know what it is, instead of them worshiping the God that had delivered them in such a dramatic way, they decided to worship idols. Idols that they had been delivered from the chains of affliction while in Egypt, they chose to worship these lifeless relics of their painful past instead of pledging their allegiance to the God that set them free. One would think that following their dramatic deliverance from Egypt by the hand of God, that they would immediately and willingly abandon all of their false gods that they had adopted while in Egypt. But for whatever the reason, they did not. As a matter of fact, when God delivered them, he would constantly remind them that he was not one of those gods, but that he was not a run-of-the-mill kind of God, but he was the God who delivered them. That's why in Exodus and in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, you always hear God saying, listen, don't forget, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, before you begin to think that God was on some kind of ego trip, that simply isn't the case. So why did God constantly remind them? I believe God constantly reminded God's people of who he was because God recognized that they had a predisposition, that they had a weakness, that they had a propensity to idol worship. In part two of our series on worship that we titled Goodbye Glory, we took a look at just how bad their addiction to idol worship was. And if you weren't here, we're going to go back there to Ezekiel chapter 8 this morning. So let's take a look at that. Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 8 to verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 8 to verse 12. Look at what the word of God said. This is the prophet Ezekiel as God had placed him in vision and showing him just how addicted his people were to idol worship. In verse 8, it begins by saying, then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was what, everybody? There was a door. And he said to me, this is God talking to the prophet Ezekiel, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols. Look at this. Don't miss this part. All the idols of the house of Israel. Another way to translate that would be all of the idols that belong to the house of Israel, portrayed all along the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of elders. These are the leaders now of the house of Israel. And in the midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphna. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. It's a different kind of incense, folks. Then he said to me, God talking to the prophet Ezekiel, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do where? In the dark, every man in the room, what? Of his own idols. Each of them had their own room with their own idols that they would go in and worship. These are the leaders of the house of Israel. They were addicted to idol worship. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has what? Forsaken the land. As I mentioned in part two of this message, of this series, the big idea, the main theme to the entire book of Ezekiel is this thing that we call reverence. And in reading the book of Ezekiel, you will find that God's people had taken him for granted again and again and again, to the point where they had lost all of their respect, all of their reverence for who God was and the place that God desired to have in their lives. You see, Israel's practice of idol worship had become such an addiction that no longer was she content to keep it under cover. But when you read chapters 8 through 11 of Ezekiel, it says that they were so blatant in their addiction that they brought it out in the open for everyone to see, even in the house of God. And when you read chapters 8 to chapter 11 of Ezekiel, you'll find things like how the women openly participated in rituals to the god of fertility, the god of Tammuz, at the very gate of the temple. How the men, the elders, had placed images, don't miss this, images of their gods on the walls of the temple in the house of God. Can you imagine your boyfriend having a picture of another girl on the wall of his Facebook page? You would go ballistic, wouldn't you? I know you would. That's basically what happened here. God's people had taken the images of other gods and put them on the wall of the temple of God. That's serious business. Can you imagine one of your spouses doing that? All throughout your home, you see a picture of another woman, another man. You go, dear? The Bible says that 25 of the elders stood at the door of the temple and bowed to the God of the sun, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. And God had finally had all he could take. And if you read Ezekiel chapter 11, the Bible says that the glory of God's presence that would lay on the cherubim that was over the Ark of the Covenant lifted off the ark and proceeded to make a beeline for the door. Now, this part is not in Scripture, but I can imagine the leader standing there going, "Goodbye, glory." As glory, the glory of God, left his house. All because his people in God's house had lost a reverence for God. And here's the big lesson that we don't want to miss today, and that is this: that when we as God's people fail to reverence God and acknowledge him for who he really is, it places us in jeopardy of forfeiting the very presence of God in our lives. In other words, even though you and I worship a patient, long-suffering God, there is a point where God says that is the straw that breaks the camel's back. And that's it and no more. And let's just pause here and take a moment and let's go back and look at our definition for reverence. So if you weren't here in parts 1 and 2, you can catch up now. It says reverence is taking the incredible knowledge of the majesty of God and applying it to our lives so that we will walk out with confidence with our Lord and operate with respect to him, but not just to God, but to others whom he knows and loves. Leave that there for a second. I just want that to sink in. So when we reverence God, the first thing that happens is we begin to come to an understanding of just how awesome and just how big and just how majestic our God is. And once we begin to truly understand the awesomeness of God, we then walk with him in confidence because we know we don't serve just any run-of-the-mill God. And that was the lesson God was teaching Moses in that bush that burned, that was not consumed. Moses, I'm not just any kind of God. I'm not like one of the gods that lay on the shelves of Egypt. I'm a different kind of God. So when you come into my presence, humble yourself. Recognize your place. Take off your shoes. For the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And as I mentioned in the last part of our series, the most powerful revelation of our lack of reverence is not demonstrated in the lack of decorum that we may have in the house of God, although that is extremely important, but rather it is demonstrated in our thinking that somehow we can live our lives without the presence of God. That is the most irreverent act that you and I can commit, somehow believing that we can live happier, better, more fulfilled lives without God. So when they put those images on the wall of the temple, when they bowed to the sun, they were telling God, we can live better, happier, more fulfilled lives without you. But they were only deceiving themselves, not realizing that in worshiping those other gods, they were worshiping nothing.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Worthless Reverence. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Athens was the loudest city in the ancient world. A different god on every corner. A different argument at every temple. The Apostle Paul walked into the middle of it and found one true thing to say anyway. Next June, you can walk the same hillsides and streets he did. Faith Discovery Tours with WGTS 91.9. 9 days in Greece with Pastor Charles Tapp of Simple Truths for Life as your guide. Reserve your spot by August 31st at WGTS919.com/tours.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And what is that thing that takes up useless time and keeps you from a better walk with God? Today, Charles Tapp warns of erecting idols of nothingness in your life and shares how God wants to turn your life into something beautiful as he shares his message, Worthless Reverence.
But they were only deceiving themselves, not realizing that in worshiping those other gods, they were worshiping nothing. Nothing. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go to the book of Leviticus quickly. Leviticus 26. Looking at verses 1 and verse 2. This is God giving his people instruction prior to going into the promised land. He says, you shall not make idols for what? Yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a what? Sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, for I am what? The Lord. Before they go into the promised land, God says, if you want to be fruitful, the first thing you've got to do is remember, don't go in and create other gods. Idols. And what's interesting about that word idol in the Hebrew, do you know what it means? Nothing. No, seriously, that's the meaning of the word. The word idols in the Hebrew means nothing. Do you know what the word nothing means if you look up nothing? Have you ever looked up nothing in the dictionary? There's some words you just don't look up, do you? You don't even want to admit that you don't know the meaning of the word. What does nothing mean? You can't say nothing in describing nothing. I looked it up. I'm not ashamed. I looked up the word nothing to see what it meant. Nothing, it says, is not anything. Isn't that something? Or it means something like of no value. Or it will never amount to anything. So when somebody calls you a nothing, they're saying you are a individual of no value, will never be any value, and will never amount to anything. And that's what God was telling Israel. Listen, you're worshiping these idols. Did you know they're nothing? Did you know they don't have value? Do you know that they will never amount to anything? And if you keep worshiping these idols, neither will you. Nothing. empty. In other words, God is saying the reverence that you are giving these idols is worthless. You're placing reverence upon something that is nothing, and if you keep doing that, you too will become worthless. The only thing worse than serving no God at all is serving a God that's worthless. I'd rather not serve a God than serve a God that is not anything. To serve a God that has no value. But that is exactly what many of God's people are doing today. Instead of giving God the place in our lives that he deserves, we put up our own images of our own gods on the walls of our own hearts, not realizing that the things that we worship, especially in these United States, they're nothing. You guys ever watch HGTV? I've been watching it lately. The other day I was watching it and they had this couple on, they were trying to buy a house and they said, well, our meager budget is $750,000. Their meager budget to purchase a home, to buy stone and wood that will one day burn to the ground. Worthless, empty. But here's the thing. Many of us worship our idols to the point we work ourselves to death to keep those idols fed, but yet we don't even have time to live in those idols. Because we're working, 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 and we barely have time for the idols that we're building in our lives because they're worthless. And that's what happened to God's people. I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor, we don't worship wood. We don't worship stone. We don't have those kind of idols today. But here's the number one idol that you and I worship. Look at this quotation. Self-righteousness is the largest idol of the human heart. Can you say ouch? Self-righteousness is the largest idol of the human heart. The idol which man loves most and God hates most. You know what it means to be self-righteous? It means that you're the kind of person that believes that your opinions, that your ideas, that whatever you have to say is superior to everyone else. And if you take it too far, including God. And that's what happened to God's people. That's how they became addicted to idols, because of their self-righteousness. In their minds, their opinion superseded, trumped God's opinion. Let me show you what I'm talking about quickly. My last passage this morning, Exodus 34, verses 12 to 14. Look at what it says. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a what? Snare in your midst. But you shall do what? Destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down what? Their wooden images. Verse 14. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is what kind of God? Is a jealous God. What does that have to do with their addiction? Simply this. If they had gone in and destroyed the idols that God told them to destroy, they would have never had the opportunity to become addicted to idol worship. But in their minds, they thought that their wisdom was above the wisdom of God. And when you and I begin to think that our ways and our opinions and our wisdom is above the wisdom of God, we become self-righteous, and that becomes our idol. And if they had only listened, how many of you have ever said, if I had only listened, if I had only heeded to the counsel that was given me, I would never be in this shape. But when you look at our scripture reading, in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, God gives an antidote for idol worship. The first thing he says is this: don't build any idols, but tear them all down. Why? because they are worthless. But then in verse 2, he says, keep my Sabbaths and reverence my what? Sanctuary. What does that have to do with an antidote for idol worship? We know the fourth commandment, don't we? Let's repeat it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do what? Any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Stop! We've got that. But it's the next part that we really don't understand fully. For it says, for in what? 6 days the Lord made what? The heavens and the earth stop. What was God saying to them? If you don't want to get caught up in Sabbath worship, or in idol worship rather, remember the Sabbath. Because in the Sabbath, I let you know I'm not just a run-of-the-mill, good-for-nothing God, but I'm a God that created the heaven and the earth. I'm not a nothing God. Don't miss this. I'm a God who takes nothing and creates something. That's the essence of the Sabbath. Every time it rolls around, we need to stop and say, I don't serve a nothing God. I serve a God who can take nothing and make something. And I want God to take this nothing and make something. That's powerful. So every Sabbath they understood, we don't serve a God of wood, a God of stone that's a nothing. We serve a God who takes nothing and makes something out of it. But then in verse 2, latter part he says, and reverence my sanctuary. What did the sanctuary have to do with all this and idol worship? You remember now, God had them build the sanctuary for one purpose, and that was so that he could be in their presence. So when God says, reverence my sanctuary, he's not talking about necessarily the decorum that we have in the place. God is saying, make a place for my presence. Don't miss this, the only way we can make a place for the presence of God is to move out the idols. So God says, remember the Sabbath, I'm not a nothing God like your idol. I'm a God who takes nothing and makes something. And if you really want to be fruitful, move that nothingness out and make room for my presence. For the greatest blessing that you and I can have, and the greatest blessing God's people had when they lived in the land was not the milk and honey, was not the grapes. They were large, so large they had to be carried on a staff. That's not the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing they have is the same blessing that you and I have been promised today, and that is the presence of God in our lives. So true reverence, in a nutshell, is recognizing who God is. And once we've recognized who God is, make room for God in our lives. Amen? That's what reverence is all about. Move those nothing, not anything gods out of your life and make room for a God who can take your nothing and create something.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. And his message, Worthless Reverence. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
This reunion is going to be more amazing than anything we could ever humanly imagine. No more pain in the back. Gone. No more arthritis. No more cancer. Gone! No more disease. Gone!
That's a sample of what you'll hear next week as Charles Tapp shares a message about the ultimate homecoming with his message, The Power of Reunion.